Welcome to A Girl's Eye View, where women share their personal experiences navigating the world of flight training and beyond. We're offering a fresh perspective on aviation with plenty of laughs, real talk, and the occasional, I can't believe I did that moment. Tune in for a fun, honest look at aviation from our point of view. I'm your host, Pam, with my co-hosts Rachel and Jen. Now, let's look at things from A Girl's Eye View. Welcome back to A Girl's Eye View. Thank you for joining us for part two of episode one, Push to Start.
Okay, Pam, your turn. How and why did you get into aviation?
My story, I have said this before, is really not inspiring. I don't find it very interesting. It's not heart-touching. Nobody is going to cry from this.
I can do it.
And it also was not a childhood dream. Many people that I talk to in aviation say, you know, ever since I was 5 years old or whatever. So I have, when I say zero background in aviation, nobody in my family, I mean, my brother-in-law said he wanted to fly. I mean, that's as close as, you know, my connection gets to aviation. So bizarre, but during the pandemic, I was scrolling social media and I saw a reel of a girl filming herself flying a little single engine plane. She loaded it up with two suitcases, and I wish I could find the reel. If you're out there listening to this, please send it to me and introduce yourself, because I would love to meet you. I think about you all the time, not in a weird way, but she was young, and it blew my mind. And I remember, I didn't even bookmark it. I just thought to myself, that is so, how dope that she could do that. And it was from beginning to end, and it showed her even like parking the plane.
Oh, yeah.
Never will forget it. And I thought about that for 5 years. And I have heard other women talk about this, but I never knew, and Jen, I think you touched on it maybe a little bit, but I never knew that a woman could be a pilot. I don't recall ever seeing one.
Yeah.
And I'm in my 40s, so there just wasn't a lot of representation, I guess, in my sphere, having no background. I mean, maybe if you have a background, you see more women around, aircraft mechanics, or we talked in our intro episode about having more, thinking of women as being flight attendants,
right,
or gate agents at the airport.
And not the actual pilots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So I thought about that for a really long time, and I am a public school teacher. And, you know, that's how I make my living, and not a very good living, to be honest. Education has changed a lot. I feel a lot of burnout in this job. But I ended up being in a place in my life where I was looking at the future. It was in my late 30s. And I was also emotionally at a place in my life where I was traveling a lot. I lived in Poland for the better part of a year in 2022. And I had thought about flying there. I was like, oh, how awesome would it be if I could, you know, bring myself here? If I could, when you live in Europe, it's so much easier. It sounds so pretentious. When you live in Europe,
right.
Sorry about that. that just came out. Maybe I'll try to edit that out. But living in Europe, people who live in Europe find that it's just so much easier to travel between countries and have these incredible experiences that are vastly different from their own background, between cuisine and costume and history and language. And travel is incredibly enriching, and I found myself in a place where I was traveling solo an awful lot. And so I thought, how cool would it be for me to be able to bring myself to these places? And taking trains in Europe is great too, but a lot of times, I mean, you could hop on a plane for €16 and go away for a weekend. Exactly. So I thought, man, that would be so amazing. And so I ended up, for a couple of reasons, making the decision to come back to the States and teach another year, because I had taken a leave of absence from my teaching job. And I was feeling a little down, is what I'll say. And I couldn't stop thinking about flying. So you can think of every reason not to, right?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, I'm too old. Mm-hmm. I have no background. I don't know what I'm doing. I already have a college
degree.
The airport's
too far away.
You can, it's cold outside. It's hot outside.
I have this thing to do 6 weeks from now. Yeah,
right.
So many reasons to not do it.
Exactly. And I think that goes for flying, but it does go for a lot of things.
I think anything that really gets you out of your comfort zone. Mm-hmm. Anything that challenges you and challenges what you know and who you are, that's scary. Mm-hmm. And you will try to get out of it, even if you want to go and do it.
Right. It's true. And I was no different. I also, I'm a person who, I don't mind failing.
Good.
I don't like it. Mm-hmm. But I would rather try and fail than never try.
Yes.
And I want to talk a lot more about that. That's just by nature. But I knew that this was something that if I took a discovery flight and I hated it, I just wouldn't do it. And that mm-hmm. didn't bother me. I had talked to some friends about it, talked to family about it, and everyone was kind of like, why do you want to do that? Yeah. Like, because no, I mean, it's okay, right? Like, you have people in your life that you love and that love you, but they're not always going to understand you. That's okay. But I was the first in my life to do a lot of things. I was the first to graduate from college. I was the first to become multilingual. I was the first to travel solo. I was the first to live abroad. And I could name a couple things in my life more that you feel like you're always being looked at like, oh, that's just Pam. Like, oh, no. Pam, just doing her thing. You know, oh, yeah. Pam, you know, who knows what she's doing.
What crazy things is she doing yes. now? Yeah, right, no, I right. totally get that, yeah.
Right, and it doesn't bother me a lot, but sometimes it does. And I think that it's interesting coming into aviation, this
yeah.
industry,
yes.
because now I'm in a place where it's not just my immediate family and my sphere, my circle of friends. It's, here's an industry where I am a fraction of, you know, the people that work
yep.
here and that are trying to do this, student pilots. I mean, there's a range of things that you can do in aviation, and women are, as we talked about in our intro episode, I mean, we're less than 10% of the whole industry. So now I'm coming into an industry where it's, again, you have this feedback of, you know, why are you doing this? And, mm-hmm. and not in the sense of it's maybe even that it's weird, but
you don't fit a pre-existing mold.
That's true.
So mm-hmm. why?
And why and how, too? How yeah. are you going to do this? And where are you going to go with it? And mm-hmm. to say, oh, I have no background and I'm not a math teacher. I'm
yeah.
not
I'm
an aerospace.
Engineer. Yep. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think that's an interesting point, though, because the questions, when you tell someone in the industry, if you're talking to somebody in the industry, the questions are, what are you going to do? What is your goal in aviation? And it's never, sometimes it's how or why. Like, why did you get into this? It really depends. But, like, the first question is usually, how many hours? Where are you going to go?
Right. And so I think that for me, it was less about why I started. It's more about what's keeping me here mm-hmm. and kind of my identity in this.
It's the airplanes. The airplanes are keeping you here.
It's actually, like, you love airplanes way more than I do. Sorry. Full disclosure, everybody. They love airplanes way more than me. It's hard to describe, right? Mm-hmm. Jen, you talked about being hooked from
yes.
your first
yeah.
flight. And I think we all feel
yeah,
that, right?
I think a lot of people, regardless, men, women, whoever, anybody who gets in the airplane the first time, if it's something that they really want to do, that first discovery flight is incredible every time. And it's so fun. I worked dispatch at my flight school for a while because of the strikes. There was no jobs in the film industry. And it was so cool to see how nervous people might be when they first got there, because they look at the fleet and they're like, you're going to put me in that?
Yeah.
And then they come back on the ground and they smile like cheek, like ear to ear.
Yeah.
And they're just, their eyes are lit up and they're like, that was really cool. I had so much fun. And you're like, got one. Got right. another one.
Line and sinker, right?
Yep. And that's really cool to see. And I think that that's one of those experiences. Like, there's a lot of milestones in aviation that you're going to remember. First discovery flight or your discovery flight, your first solo,
mm-hmm.
your check ride. Those are things that you're going to constantly be like, oh, I did that. And that was really cool.
Right. Yeah. And I was in a place in my life, too, where I don't know, I wouldn't really describe myself as a confident person, but I guess I wouldn't say I'm not. I just, like I said, when you're not afraid of something not working out, or when you're not afraid of failure, you end up doing a lot more things.
Yeah.
And I remember when I was in college, I ended up living in Ecuador for a short time. And like, I had people talking to me about it like it was a joke. They would say things like, where did you come back from? Nicaragua? And they knew it was Ecuador. Mm-hmm. But it was just, oh, it's not important enough for me to remember it. It's not, people think it's a joke, and, mm-hmm. and that's fine. But if you hear it enough times,
yeah.
you start to think, like, am I weird for doing this? Am mm-hmm. I odd? You know, and nobody else is doing it. And people are going, well, what are you going to do when you do, when you go there? And what about safety? I was in Poland in 2022. I arrived a week before the war started in Ukraine.
Yeah.
People were calling me saying, what are you doing there? Get back here. And I'm
when
going,
when are you coming home?
When are you coming home? Book a flight. Maybe you could go to Spain instead. And of course, I'm the one who's there. So I'm looking around and asking my Polish friends, are you guys leaving? Because if you're leaving, I'm leaving.
Right.
And they're like, well, if you're leaving, we're leaving. So there is a sense of you cannot be intimidated by the idea that you're going to have to do a power off 180 and just return back to your...
I did those on my checklist. Yeah.
Talk about it all the time.
That was quote unquote the fun fly.
Yeah, That was, and that is actually
a cool
story. We'll talk a lot about that.
Definitely. Check ride.
So, like I said, it's not so much about what got me started, as opposed to it being like how I view the world.
Found
maybe
your niche. That's what it is. Like you were adrift, and now you're stuck with us.
Well, and it's opened up a lot of exciting opportunities, but
yeah,
largely because I said, this is something I cannot shake. I can't. When you're not exposed to something, though, I try not to think too much about this, but I think about, what if I was 14? What if I was 10? What if I was 8? What if I was 4?
We'll talk about that in a different thing, though, because that is a whole thing. Like this idea that there's an expiration. You know, using an expiration date is maybe the bad word, like bad phrase, but the idea that there's a too old to start kind mm-hmm. of thing, and that's not usually the case in aviation. But you don't know that if you're just going in. You have no idea. Yeah.
No idea. So
especially when your instructors are in their early 20s, you're like, this is ridiculous.
Yep. Believe me, when I taught high school, okay, this is a crazy story. So I have been in check ride prep, and I took a stage check. I did the flying portion with an instructor at my school that has been there. Well, I've known him for about 6 months now, something like that. And it was the first time we'd flown together. Younger guy. He said, you know, sorry that I was a little bit late. I thought we started later. And I came from this town. And he named the town that I happen to live in, which is kind of a smaller town. Mm. So it surprised me. And I said, really? I didn't know you lived there. Did you just move there? No, I grew up there. This is what he says. No, my family is from there. I grew up there. And I said, did you go to the public schools there? And he said, yes. And I said, well, I taught for 2 years in the high school. Did you take a world language? And he said, yes, I took Spanish.
Oh, no.
And he's like, yeah, I think you were my Spanish teacher.
And now he's teaching you how to fly airplanes.
I'm in this weird space where I'm at an age where another instructor mm-hmm. used to be my high school student.
Yep.
And he's the one teaching me how to not die in a plane.
Or, and that's not to say, you know, I realized as we were kind of talking about it that we might be like disparaging the youth that are teaching, that are CFIs.
Oh.
And that's not the case because they're very capable. It's just mentally sometimes you get in an airplane and you look at the person next to you and you're like, I have memories that exist before you were born.
Yes.
Like, this is wild.
It's like having a doctor who's younger than you. To me, that's still odd.
Yeah.
It's odd walking in and going, my doctor is only 26?
I'm lucky that Eugene is pretty old, but like, I could imagine that would be disconcerting.
Yeah. Being of a certain age or background or demographic or what have you, you could really explain away, you know, this isn't something that I should get into. This isn't something mm-hmm. I should start. Even the cost. I mean, I'm paying out of pocket, Jen, much like you. And
same
I think,
thing.
Rachel, you are too.
Out of pocket.
So I had some savings that I've been whittling away at.
Right, watching dwindle.
Yeah, exactly. But I've had two jobs. And I've had to make some choices about, you know, how much I can fly and all that stuff. So I had started flying with the idea that I'll take a Discovery flight, and if I hate it, I just won't do it again. And if I
and
like
it's
it,
how long? When was your Discovery flight?
It was October 20th of 2023. And yep. I, like I said, I'm so 15 months I've been flying. Yeah. It's not like you fly every week because, as we've said, the weather in New England is really tough. So, yeah, that's kind of how I started and why I've stayed. The idea of failure, though, has come back around way more times than I thought it would.
Oh, yeah.
Especially because being an educator for so long, I am really confident in my craft. Kids are different now. Childhood is different. The world is different. So things are more difficult. But like I said, being a student in a flight school, I've been faced with failure a lot more times than I would like.
Humbling.
It's very humbling.
Yes.
I think flight training might be one of the most humbling experiences.
It really is. Yeah, definitely.
Especially initially when you have like these like huge gains in skill. And you have
one bad flight after, and you're like, it's clearly me. I shouldn't be in an airplane.
Well, that's true. But I guess what I'm talking about is when you see how well you're doing, you first like really stick a landing, or, you know, you can really nail that maneuver
that
and
euphoria.
You remember it. So I would get a lot of confidence, huge confidence boost from flying. And I would feel like it was something that I could do to feel good about myself at a time where things felt uncertain in my personal life, but also in my secular life, being in a job that I don't really like anymore, being in a job I don't want to be in, and feeling like my future is uncertain. Huge, like, confidence boost there. So, you know, that gets addictive.
Yes.
You want to feel good about yourself. So that was really good. So it had a lot more of a personal significance to me. And that's why, kind of like you said, if you have a bad flight, then your confidence takes a huge hit.
Oh, yeah. There were times when I was still at the flight school in New Orleans and we were at the point where we were working on landings, I literally had nightmares about crashing into the earth and would, like, wake up, like, sit up, just hop out of bed, basically, and have to, like, talk myself off a ledge about, like, I can do this. I know I'm just learning how to do this. It was awful. It was absolutely the worst experience ever. Hmm. And yet, essentially, got back on the horse and did it.
Mm-hmm.
Figured out how to land the airplane without hurtling into the earth. Mm-hmm. And it was fine. But it is, I've never had any other skill or activity. Like, I am a certified rescue diver. That has never kept me up at night.
Oh, you really?
I really am.
Yeah. The more we learn.
I know. I'm like an onion. That even, like, the idea of rescuing a human from under feet, several, either tens or hundreds of feet of water, did not keep me up like trying to land an airplane did.
That's funny. I haven't had nightmares about flying yet, have you?
It was just the landings. Yeah. It wasn't the flying part. It was just the landing.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I've had a few.
Have you, Jen?
Yeah. I don't remember if it was specifically about landing. My job haunts me more than the flying tends to, but... Yeah, definitely.
I'm so glad I'm not alone. Because it was I couldn't sleep. And I wasn't seeing my therapist at the time yet. So we couldn't talk through it.
I have more, maybe, can you say daymares? Instead of daydreams, daymares?
Yeah,
is that a term?
I mean, it's essentially the same idea. Where, like, you know, it's the existential dread and, like, the imposter syndrome. And then the whole, like, actually what you have to do to get through this whole thing, like what you have to do to fly an airplane, and then you're like, what?
I think it's more like I have a very unhealthy fear of power on stalls.
Oh.
That's my big thing.
Spin training.
Everyone says that. Oh, get your spin. You know, I just look, let me live, all right, everybody? Let me live. And I mean that in two senses, okay? Let me do it in my own time.
Both literally and figuratively.
I don't wanna die.
I want to survive.
So that's kind of an overview, I think, of each of our
background. Kind of where we're coming from.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
and kind of where we're going. I would
For
like
those
to
keeping count at home. I've cried twice this episode.
It's endearing. We love it. We love it. When something is really connected to your heart, how can you not?
Yeah, yeah, that's true.
So I just want to briefly go through today. I think we would all agree that our plans have changed over our flight training, what we want to do in the future.
But when I think that also is a really important thing to say, like, keep an open mind when you start. Just because you're starting this for fun doesn't mean that you're not going to make it something else. Mm-hmm. Or if you go into it and you're like, I want to go to the airlines, nothing says you have to. Like, you can, you're allowed to say, you know what? Maybe I'm good in the 172s. I don't need to go to the bigger planes. Totally fine.
Right. So when it comes to aviation, your plans can and probably will change. They have changed for me. I originally wanted to be a cargo pilot.
Oh, yeah. That's right.
Yeah. But Jen, do you want to talk a little bit about where you're thinking you might want to go at this point?
I kind of think that I would like to stay probably as a private, maybe commercial pilot, and eventually get into maybe air traffic control, something along those lines. I really like very challenging work, and I'm not currently being super challenged in my job. I think that once I've kind of worked through my flight training and get myself to a point that I'm happy with, that might be something I plan to pursue.
That's awesome. It's a really good job.
Mm-hmm. I've got a few more years. You can do it before you're 31. So we'll see. Okay.
All right. Cool.
Oh, yeah. Plenty of time.
Yeah.
Plenty of time.
Plenty. You're baby. Mm-hmm. Rachel, what about you? What are your future plans as of today?
Oh, because it'll change in 3 more weeks? Yeah. So as of today, I am going to go to the airlines. I am going to finish my instrument and commercial, and then I'm going to get my multi and CFI. I don't know if I'm actually going to use my CFI. I haven't decided about that yet, only because I will have to work while I get the hours and get the other certificates that I need. And because I travel so much for work and I'm not really in theory, one place long enough, it wouldn't really be fair to start a student knowing that I couldn't actually finish. But I figure it wouldn't be a bad thing to have if I get to use it. Mm-hmm. Great. If not, nobody's tried to kill me. So, you know, there's that. So, yeah, I'm thinking I will have almost all the certifications I need by the end of 2025 and then can just kind of spend the rest of the time doing the time building. I need about 1,200 more hours plus, obviously, you know, my multi and all that stuff. So we'll see how that goes. Which is, it's wild because I really never thought, I thought this was going to be a hobby. This was going to be some like fun thing that I could be like, hey, you guys want to go on the airplane with me? And it would be great. And now I'm like, all right, I can wear that hat and that jacket and fly a big airplane. I can do that. That'll be fine.
The uniform is pretty awesome.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm. Honestly, I'm more excited about the airplane. But
I think.
And you don't want to do cargo anymore, you said, right?
So,
or do you? Is it cargo and?
Cargo and. What is funny for me is that I think that my goals have become a lot more short term.
Probably smart.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So I started out thinking, oh, it would be great to fly cargo and maybe like humanitarian supply missions, I thought would be really, really cool. And at this point, I really just want to get my private pilot license. And
go from there.
And yeah. I do really want to also get my seaplane rating. That is something I would
so badly. I want to do that so bad.
So I've been looking, I've been talking to some girls who have their seaplane rating. I've been asking about their schools, but first things first, you know?
Yeah. And so it was recommended to me when I was talking about getting seaplane, wait until after you get your commercial, because then you have a commercial seaplane.
And then you have to retake it.
Yeah, because otherwise it'd be a commercial add-on.
Oh, my
goodness. So instead of being just, you know, you'd have your seaplane rating, but then if you wanted to get certified to be able to, like, earn money or, like, whatever, you'd have to go and do a separate check ride to get, like, the commercial add-on kind of thing for it. Whereas if you have your commercial, it's automatic.
Good, good tip.
Thanks. That's what I'm here for.
We're here for tips, guys. So
yeah.
As we wrap up our first official episode, we still want to ask if you are interested in what you're hearing. We would love to have you come back for our official episode 2 that's going to come out, and we would love to hear from you. So you can follow us on socials at A Girl's Eye View Podcast. And you can visit our website, agirlseyeview.com. And if you would like to send us any questions or any feedback at all, you can...
Do you have a particular topic you want us to talk about?
Mm-hmm. Topic ideas.
We're just kind of getting started, so we probably have it on the big list, but... Mm-hmm.
There's always more to discuss. If you guys want to send in any of your stories, we would love to give you a shout out as well on our pod. So you can email us at podchat@agirlseyeview.com.
That's Papa Oscar Delta Charlie Hotel Alpha Tango at agirlseyeview.com.
Nice. And you can reach all of us there. We will be getting separate emails. So if there's something that you want to, you know, touch on maybe between the three of us, something that we've said in the future, you'll be able to email us personally. But for now, that's a really good place to reach us. So thank you for joining us today. And we hope that you will join us again, looking at things from a girl's eye view.
As a reminder, the views and opinions shared during this podcast are those of the hosts alone. We do not represent the views of the FAA, our flight schools, or our employers. This podcast is purely for entertainment. We are not qualified flight instructors. We are just here to share our experiences.